You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Have you ever sat down one evening and thought to yourself, that was a day? If you wrote about that day, could its events, its trials, tribulations, highs, lows, mysteries, revelations, fill an entire book? Our next guest has made an impressive literary career of filling books, big ones, with storytelling about a world of his own creation, told from the perspective of a span of individual days. The same is true from his newest book, a standalone story that takes place in one day in his fictional world. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Wisconsin author Patrick Rothfuss, a reader of fantasy fiction yourself? Have you ever worked to create your own fantasy world for a role-playing game, for your own writing? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Wisconsin's own Patrick Rothfuss is the author of the King Killer Chronicle fantasy series. It kicked off with The Name of the Wind. His new book is called The Narrow Road Between Desires, set in the fictional world where his other novels take place. Fun fact, he was a guest on the pilot version of a radio show that eventually became this show. Pat, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, first off, I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was I was an early adopter, but also that was the best, nicest lead-in I have heard in a mortal age. I am so tickled and I'm like really kind of blushy right now.
Oh, stop.
it's true. I never actually realized that. Yeah, I guess I do frame things in terms of days, which sounds silly now that I kind of admit that that wasn't intentional.
Wow. And I'll credit to our producer, Tim Peterson. I've read your books, but I didn't really until I thought back. It's like, yeah, the novels were told. Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people in Wisconsin familiar with your work. For those who aren't, can you tell us a bit about the world that The Name of the Wind and the new book, The Narrow Road Between Desires, is set in?
That is a dangerous one, and I'll try to do it briefly.
How much time do we have? Yeah,
exactly. Everyone out there just heard me say briefly, and they're rolling their eyes. Fantasy... if you look at Tolkien, he wrote what is referred to as secondary world fantasy. It happens somewhere else. There's a lot of modern fantasy is written in this world, but different, or this world, but there's secrets. When I sat down to start this whole project, gosh, 20 years ago, I knew I wanted to tell a story in another world. But the thing that I wanted to avoid is something I've seen in so many of the books that I loved, but it broke my heart. At the end of The Lord of the Rings, Middle Earth is kind of done. The story exhausts the world. There can't ever be follow-ups because, like, the elves are leaving. And the story is so big that there's no room for more things to happen after it in the world without seeming anticlimactic. So when I started writing this story, I'm like, I want to tell a smaller story about a man's life. You know, what's like, I've heard it referred to as the backstage pass to the myth of the hero. But after I always thought when I'm done telling this person's story, there's more world, more places, more people. So that's my world. A fun place to explore, but hopefully big enough. I always hoped for multiple stories. That's not very descriptive at all.
That's okay. But I actually want to take it to this new book, The Narrow Road Between Desires. You've actually done exactly what you just talked about in this and a previous book, taken one character, a secondary character from the main arc, and said, in effect, what is a day in their life look like? And it's a very different feel and a very different voice, but it allows you to explore another part of that world you created.
And, you know, it was something I stumbled into with Slow Regard, the book that should never have been written and I never thought would be published, the book where nothing happens, but that I love it anyway. And, this one, at least I could think, well, people do want to show up for effectively... You know, you get to see a secondary character live their own life. There's a term for that sort of episode in a TV show, but I don't know it because I don't do TV shows.
I wanted to talk about the challenge of writing fantasy, and I'm always impressed with this fantasy and some science fiction where, as you said, it's set not in our world. where, in addition to telling a story, you have to answer a lot of questions about how that world works. But also, I mean, and some old science fiction is, hey, here's an encyclopedia chapter for the first chapter, so you know where we are. The challenge of, like, working all that world building in while still, you know, advancing a plot.
It is the persistent issue, and it's one, you know, we all love Granddaddy Tolkien. We're in his shadow, and his shadow is long. And I love The Lord of the Rings, read it every year as a kid. It's got fingerprints all over my heart. But good Lord, that book starts slow, right? And he's like, hey, there's a place, and they have birthday parties, and they give gifts, and they're called Mathomes, and there's a museum. And so this guy is going to have a birthday, and here's what that birthday is like. And you're like, Tolkien, it's been 50 pages. What's going on here? And so what it's talked about in this day and age is you make this world, because you have to make a world to tell a story in it. And then you're kind of proud of it, and you want to show it off, and you have to show it off. But, you know, the rookie mistake is to, again, follow a little too closely in Tolkien's footsteps, and you show everything off, and you're excited because your baby is very smart and pretty, and you really want to talk about the cool religion you made or the magic you have. And it's called the info dump. In my experience, the problem isn't making a cool world. The problem is making it and then shutting up about it and doing a story instead. And I'm afflicted with it as much as anyone, because I do a wild amount of world building.
Talking to Wisconsin author Patrick Rothfuss, author of the series that starts with The Name of the Wind. A new book set in that world is just out, The Narrow Road Between Desires. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Your questions, your experiences reading fantasy literature, and a question that I'm about to ask Patrick is, what kind of stuff do you like to read to your kids? Do you have fond memories of having things read to you by your parents growing up? Join in at 800-642-1234. Pat, you were mentioning your reading of The Lord of the Rings as a kid. I know you've talked online and elsewhere about, you know, what you like to read to your own kids. What is on your hit list? What kind of things do you look for to read to kids?
I do. You know, for a long time, for those of you out there that know what Goodreads is, I used to review a lot of books there. And then as I started to read more to my boys and look more at kids' books, I shifted almost entirely to sharing my many, many opinions about children's literature, because good Lord, if you're a careful parent who wants to limit a child's exposure to some really toxic cultural stuff, there's a lot to look out for in some of these classic books. But yeah, I never knew that Little House on the Prairie was real or a book until I already had kids. So I read all of them to the boys, editing on the fly to avoid, oof, there are some racist and sexist things in there. But still, they're fabulous. They're more fantastic than a lot of fantasy I've read. These days, though, my boys are 9 and 14. And there's very little, like, in terms of, like, age range that I wouldn't lay on them. You know, think of who their daddy is, right? So, I've read The Hobbit to them multiple times. They could practically sing along with the opening. Right now I'm rereading The Last Unicorn to them, one of my all-time favorite books. I read this book to them, only because on a lark, I was reading, Ursula K. Le Guin's, like, foundational, Wizard of Earthsea, which I love and they love, but it was not meant to be read out loud, and it was hard. And if you're doing it before bed, you don't want an extra job. And I'm like, maybe I could read them a little bit of Slow Regard, which I remembered being easy to read out loud because I did the audiobook. And I'm like, and I did it. And I immediately got self-conscious. And I said, you know what, boys, this was silly. I'm not going to read you my own. And they're like, please, please, please. And I read it. And they loved this story about nothing. They were so into it. And so I bounced this book off of them as well. And they helped me catch a few mistakes and they helped me work on the illustrations. So I read to them all the time. Not as much as I wish I would, but still an awful lot. Yeah.
We're talking to Wisconsin author Patrick Rothfuss about some of his storytelling craft, including speculative fiction and world building, and his new book. It's called The Narrow Road Between Desires. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest? Have you already picked up the new book? Are you a writer yourself? Do you need maybe some inspiration for your own creativity? And do you have favorite things to read to kids? Or do you have a favorite memory of being read to as a kid? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin author Patrick Rothfuss is with us talking about the craft of storytelling in his new book set in his fictional world. It's called The Narrow Road Between Desires. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. John is with us in Green Bay. John, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to share a quick story of my aunt reading Shel Silverstein poems to us, my sister and I, and how much we just enjoyed that experience, how his words brought those poems to our imagination. And I forgot the titles. It's Another Light in the Attic, something like that. Perhaps the author knows.
A Light in the Attic. Yeah.
And John, I got to ask before I let you go, have you passed those on to a new generation or do you plan to?
Yes, we've kept them and I read them to my kids, but now my kids are 19, 21, 23. So we'll see. They'll be held on to for another generation.
My kids are that age. They don't let me read to them anymore either. But I had a great aunt who read Shel Silverstein to us as a kid. It's the poems that aunts read to kids, apparently, Pat.
Oh, Shel Silverstein just gave me like a tingle of joy. The boys would read some of that to each other. Mm. I also stumbled onto videos of Shel Silverstein reading his own stuff, which was wild. Like, it was not what I expected because he was an intense man.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Pat, in the new book, I get a little bit of a fairy tale feel to it for a couple of reasons, I think. Do you look to the worlds of fairy tales and folklore for some of your inspiration?
Absolutely. And for this one in particular, I kind of put my foot in it because I'm like, oh, you know, I actually studied fairy tales. I used to collect fairy tales. I'm like, back in my arrogant youth, I'm like, I just want to read all of the classic fairy tales, get them under my belt. You can't. There's so many and from all different cultures. However, when I'm like, I'll draw on some of those elements. And, you know, if I'm trying to fit some of those things into my world is not the world of, you know, medieval Europe, mm-hmm. or where the Grimm brothers were, or, a lot of these, you know, this different mindset. So the cultural things don't fit together, but also trying to bring in and sort of be mindful of a different sort of morality, because these fairy tales were moral. Bruno Bettelheim wrote a great book. It's one of the few books written about fairy tales seriously, and it's called The Witch Must Die, because people think, oh, these were never meant for children. The thing is, yeah, they weren't meant just for children. Kids love them, and they don't mind terrible things in stories so long as the people who do terrible things are punished. And that sort of, it's reassuring because you're like, oh, there might be bad people, but they're going to get theirs. And like, and that is I'm not saying it's the best morality, but there's a moral compass in there. And like the the evil stepmother in Sleeping Beauty, at the end, she's safe. She's back. She's getting married. And at the wedding, they heat up a pair of iron shoes by the fire, make her wear them and dance until she dies. So like, that's old Testament morality there. But that doesn't really, you know, fit in the world I created. And it's not necessarily the morality that I want to spread in my own fiction. So, I mean, a little taste of that is fine, but I don't want that to be the end all be all. So trying to be socially responsible with what I'm sharing with the world, it's a little tricky because the old folk tales, they were dark, and fairies weren't really interested in important stuff like consent. And so I had some work to do there. Yeah.
Let's go back to our callers. Barbara is with us in Madison. Barbara, hi.
Hi. I just want to tell Patrick how much I enjoy his writing. I picked up The Name of the Wind. I don't know why I picked it, you know, but I loved it so much. I shared it with my whole family. And I just finished reading The Slow Regard again because I liked that so much. I saw it at the library. And now the Mystery to Me just called and said, your new book is in. Could I come and get it? So that's what I'm doing.
Barbara, who gave you a call?
The Murder to Me bookstore, I think she was referring to.
Oh, I love them. Yeah.
Barbara, thanks a lot for that call. Patrick, you're at a point where you've got lots of fans out there. What does it feel like to, I don't know, just to have people out there looking forward to something, as Barbara did clearly, to picking up that book at the bookstore today?
You know, the proper answer is sort of the chirpy Hollywood interview answer, which is to say, oh, it's so great. And it is. I'm not saying that's not a true answer, but the really true answer is it's been like almost a decade since I published a book, and I've really felt bad about that, and I've beaten myself up about it. And there's books I've wanted to write, and there's books that people want to read from me. And then I do this book, and I know it's not the book some people want or wish for. And so it's not healthy, but I will admit, like, somebody asked me this exact question. Hey, you're getting a book out. How does it feel? Pretty good. And I'm like, actually, I have a sense of dread.
Oh, no.
Because I'm worried people will just be upset. It's not what they want. But hearing from people like that, I remember, like, you don't do things for the people that are going to be angry at you. Like, that shouldn't be my deciding thing. It's been so nice to hear it again and again as I put the book out. Some people are salty. It's not what they wanted, or it's been too long for them. But there's so many people who are kind and thoughtful, and they understand that life gets in the way. And it does me a world of good to hear that people still think of me fondly, honestly. Yeah.
Barbara, thanks a lot for the call. I think I said Murder to Me, Mystery to Me bookstore. Talking to Patrick Rothfuss, author of the King Killer Chronicle fantasy series. His latest book is called The Narrow Road Between Desires. It's been a while since we talked, Patrick, but I dimly recall that you really liked recommending books and sharing the stuff you're loving reading with other humans. You got any suggestions for us these days?
You know, when you're promoting a book... You know what your PR people hate is when you talk about another book that's coming out right now. But man, I'll do it every time. If you haven't read Murderbot, the Murderbot Diaries, I think I love it as much as I've loved anything that I've read that I've picked up new in these last 5 years. And you might think, what, Murderbot? I read a lot. And I don't know if I have loved anything as much as I've loved that. I've read it multiple, multiple times. The audiobook is stunning by Kevin R. Free. It's by Martha Wells. And the newest one, Me and My Boys, honestly, I've been kind of excited and kind of dreading my own book release. The book release we've really been looking forward to in this household with untrammeled joy is Martha Wells' new Murderbot. Start at the beginning, though, and Trust me, it's gorgeous. I've never empathized with a character as much as I've empathized with Murderbot.
All right. We'll apologize to your PR people, Patrick.
No, I love it. Thank you for giving me the chance, because I'll talk about Murderbot all day. I would list 100 books, but I know that I shouldn't mention a book that's coming out literally right now. But absolutely, pick that one up. Then you can try mine.
And then go ahead. Yeah. Well, actually, I just want to ask briefly in our last half a minute or so, Patrick, you've taught creative writing, including at your alma mater, UW Stevens Point, over the years. Quick bit of inspiration for somebody who wants to write for, you know, maybe they're going to publish a book, maybe it's just for fun, a quick bit of inspiration for them.
I'll say this. There's no right way to do it. And anyone who says this is the way, take their advice with a grain of salt. Instead, if you want to make a world, don't feel like you got to do what Tolkien did. He was a linguist, so he did languages. He was a historian, so he based it on the Eddas. If you love stamp collecting and butterflies, and that's what you're into, make a world that centers around that, and I will be there for your weird Lepidoptera fantasy novel, man.
Pat, we'll leave it there. Good to talk to you again.
So good to talk to you.
That's Wisconsin-born and raised Patrick Rothfuss, author of the Kingkiller Chronicle Fantasy Series, which kicked off with The Name of the Wind. We talked to him about his latest book called The Narrow Road Between Desires and many other things as well. If you have a favorite book that you like reading to kids, email ideas@WPR.org. We can share it on a future program.